Hello, everybody. Welcome to another special episode. Well, actually, not another special episode, but a special episode. I'm sitting here with my friend Ryan Dimenick. We actually have a show on another podcast together called As Is, and this is an interesting conversation for me because I've never talked to you on a different platform. So, anyway, say hello.
Hello, Danny. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So let me just tell everybody that I know you from we're both actors. I met you, what year was that?
Oh, that was 2010.
2010 on a show called Rumors. And we know I noticed very fast that we had kind of the same sense of humor. We smoked cigarettes back then. We went
Yeah, we did.
outside. We made fun of the other cast people. But I think what our bond is really more about is that we're both sort of outsiders looking in. You know what I mean?
I think so.
So I thought maybe we could discuss a little bit of our trajectories in our life. So it's interesting because it's very different circumstances. I grew up in Israel. You grew up in.
I grew up in Ringgoes, New Jersey. It's definitely one of those towns that just pretty much just like any other town, whereas like you don't know it exists unless you're from there. And it's
Like nowhere USA.
pretty much. I mean, it is a nice area though. Like I you know, driving through it still, and it's, you know, there's a lot of open land, and I love that. I really do.
So I have very mixed feelings about Israel because Israel's a beautiful place, but my childhood was very rocky. It was a good childhood for 6 years until sixth grade, and then my mom died, and then things took a nosedive. I experienced depression. So when I go back to Israel, I get this like weird psychological, but you don't really have that because you've never really moved away from Ringo's, right?
I mean, I did live alone for a while ago, but other than that, yeah, I haven't really strayed too far from the nest. It's not so much, I wouldn't say it's so much a me thing. It's like a cultural thing, so to speak. It's like a lot of people who grew up in like grew up the way like I did. You know, they don't really stray too far from the nest in general, in terms of like straying too far from what like their families did generations before, that kind of thing. And
But the point I was getting at is that you do you feel like I sort of actually get like PTSD when I go back to Israel because, well, let's just describe our high school years a little bit, okay? So I was actually very popular until like sixth grade. Felt very comfortable in my own skin, sort of. I was still feeling I was, you know, I was a little I was actually kind of introverted. Like I was the way I am now. Like I'm good socially and I like to have fun, but I could spend days alone. So I would consider myself an introvert who's sometimes an extrovert, but I'm really more of an introvert. So in high school, after my mom died, I started to really ex I took a nosedive emotionally. I started to like experience depression. Became a recluse, and my whole personality. What I'm getting at is, it was a weird. Like I don't know. Did you experience? So what was your what was your experience of high school? Did you have like years where you felt comfortable, and then years where you didn't feel comfortable?
So when I started high school, okay, so just give a little bit of a background. The school I went to from kindergarten through eighth grade, because that school had all 9 years in it. You know, I went from a graduating class of like 65 to going to high school, which I went to a graduating class of like over 700. So it's kind of like, I guess like in a metaphorical type of way, it's almost kind of like, you know, going from a big small town to a big city almost, even though it was still in, it was in Flemington. And I remember starting high school really kind of wanting to start fresh because, you know, I was never a popular kid throughout my entire childhood. And even the summer before that. So here's the funny thing. So I graduated eighth grade. I thought to myself, man, I can't wait to get to high school. I can't wait to have so many girlfriends. Bear in mind, let's see, I was 14. I was 5 foot six, 160 pounds of pretty much fat. I had not yet, despite my age, really hit puberty yet, so my voice was still high. I had no idea just how unappealing I was. I was always kind of in denial about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, at the same time, wait a minute. What did you think? I mean, you know, I mean, do you think you were actually unappealing, or that was just your sense worth?
I feel like my, in terms of like self-awareness or like sense of self-worth, I feel like it hadn't really formed completely yet.
Okay.
Like I still had.
But did you have friends? Did you have
like. I had a small group of friends.
Okay. So you weren't completely isolated.
Not completely. Probably the closest friend I had, I'm still friends to this day. My only friend, one of the few friends I actually have from that time.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact, you know, that it's interesting, you know, I had that thought graduating eighth grade about how when I got to high school, I was going to have so many girlfriends. And
right.
The fact that I actually believed that would happen is interesting. It's like maybe like a month after I graduated eighth grade, I found out a certain truth about my parentage.
Right.
You know, I found out the guy I thought was my dad actually wasn't. He was my biological dad. So, you know, yeah, that kind of screwed me up, because then I was like, well, you know, this is going to be one of those situations where the apple kind of doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, like my biological father hurt my mother like that.
Right.
I just figured it was going to be inevitable that I would hurt someone like that. And right. I decided, you know, I'm just not going to be in any relationships at all.
Right, right.
But again, you know, starting high school, I still wanted to start fresh. And, you know, one thing I did realize earlier than that was that I did enjoy making people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like if I made people laugh, that was like a,
right.
That was a huge plus.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, same here, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's still something that I do until today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then I think what happened was the first two – that went well, like, the first 2 years of high school. Then
Yeah, but those – first of all, those 2 years suck. They just suck. You know why? Do. Because, like, you don't know who the hell you are, and you're trying to come up with an identity. And mm-hmm. This is why my whole high school was so fucked up, because I would have days where I would feel comfortable with myself, and then days where I was completely lost, and that up and down was driving me insane, you know? So, I mean, I sympathize with anybody that has a hard time in high school,
mm-hmm.
but I sympathize with you for going through all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, it just reminds me of, like, I hated that feeling of, like, feeling okay and then not feeling okay. The next hour, I'm like, who the hell am I? You know? Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. And I think kids experience that to a certain extent. Everybody does. But I think because we had sort of a rough time of, you know, family stuff, that it made it worse. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it was very confusing. I also had a brother that was, you know, he didn't have the same issues that I had. He was very, you know, I don't know what his perspective is, but I always felt like he was very together. He was very charismatic. It was cool because I could, when I was around him, I was with him a lot. So I didn't have to like work too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I was like his, you know, he got all the attention, which was fine. It really was. I wasn't mad. But I just kind of felt like I really had a very strange, like, I look at I have a diary from sixth grade, and it is very weird.
Oh, wow.
You know, some of it is very funny, and some of it is like, you know, what movies I'm watching, and it's like a normal kid, and then the next entry is like dark and depressed, and like, who the hell, you know, it was just, I was all over the place, you know. So anyway, so just wondering, like, was it as intense for you, like...
I would say, like, it probably wasn't as intense. I mean, like, well, I guess it's all relative.
Yeah, it's
like,
all relative, right.
It's one of those things where it was, like, I guess it just became so, like, normalized. Like, in terms of any sort of feelings of depression,
right.
Those had actually started for me way before high school.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember having my first suicidal thoughts when I was, like, 10 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through all that, and like people, especially like adult figures, kind of like invalidating mm-hmm. what you're feeling and telling you that you have no problems, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, I think you told me once that you sort of had some people in your family that were sort of like, I don't know what the word is, sort of macho or sort of like yeah. had a different persona, and that you felt like you couldn't live up to that manly fucking thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you know, we were talking before this about how, like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I was a nerd. I was like, I've always been a movie fan.
Right.
And like, I knew no one else that had like that interest.
In that's it. Really? Because pretty much like kids do like movies.
Yeah, but it's like, it's weird. I remember seeing The Breakfast Club for the first time in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And in art class, like drawing a picture and showing my teacher, and she's like, I never heard of The Breakfast Club.
Wow.
And,
wow. That was a big hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, dude, who did you identify with The Breakfast Club?
I think if I identify with anyone, or if anyone I wanted to be, it was definitely Bender.
The hip.
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson, yeah. 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 But who did you feel like spoke to you? Like, I know you wanted to be like him, but did you feel like the nerd guy?
Well, I don't know if, I definitely felt like Michael Hall as well.
Even though you're not really a jock, I could see how you would identify with Emilio Estevez.
Oh yeah,
because he was very. Remember, he had dad issues.
And that one scene. That yeah. one did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it's one of those weird things. Where it's like in his head, mentally, I was like, you know, we went through these something similar.
Yeah.
But the fact that I looked nothing like him at all
in terms but in terms of the wanting to be like, you know, perfect and want to be a somebody that, you know, he had that whole, you know, you remember that speech.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of that before, but actually I do think that you kind of remind, not in looks or anything like that,
right,
but, just the intensity, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so you were into movies and mm-hmm. you felt like nobody else was into movies.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you get older and you get the internet, and all of a sudden there's so many people all over the world that are into this one thing, and it's like, it's crazy how in my podunk backwards town, you know,
right,
no one was. And
right,
you know, being another thing too, being in my family, and this ties into what you're asking me about, like other male members of my family, like my uncles, my mm-hmm. grandfather, my cousins.
Yeah.
Compared to them, I definitely felt like the biggest wuss. And
yeah,
that I've eventually managed to kind of like work through and let go of.
Yeah.
But part of what allowed me to do that was actually reaching the level that I wanted to attain as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Getting their respect, which I eventually did.
Right.
To an extent. But, you know, it's like, part was also, you know, like growing up, like with my dad. It's one of those things, and I hate to say it, but, you know, like it's one of those things where I kind of feel like, you know, I might have been better off without him, you know?
Which one? The original?
The one that my mom married.
I might have been better off. I can 100% say that my life would have been complete. But, you know, okay, so I had a father that was, you know, not emotionally, I can't even say it. He wasn't, like, physically abusive, but he was definitely, there was a lot of, like, you know, he was not the nicest guy in the world, let's put it this way. I spent most of my childhood avoiding him. And wanting not to be like him. And the older that I got, the more hatred of him I had. So I have no problem saying that. And I actually, you know, I'm still working on forgiving him. He's passed away about 16 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to look at it now as he didn't know any better. You know, his parents were crazy. His mom was really, really not good. I remember her really well. So, but as a kid, you can't, you know, you're living that reality, you know? So luckily, I mean, this is the weird part about my childhood. Like, I had amazingly great times and amazingly terrible times. Like, I didn't really have a middle, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I would play basketball, I'd have fun with my brother. I was, you know, I had great friends, But then I'd go back to this dark, dark house, and my father was a dark figure. So when you say that, you know, maybe you'd be better off with another father, I totally relate to that. But on the other hand, my life, I mean, I moved to America to get away from my father. Like, my whole life would have been complete. If I had a normal father, my whole life would be different. Yeah. I'd be in Israel right now. Mm-hmm. Who knows what so anyway, I mean, it's good, and it's good. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know? But it also makes us what we are. Like, mm-hmm. the crap that we go through makes us what we are. So if you didn't have father issues, you know.
Probably would have had something else.
Yeah, sure. There would be always something.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, like, there was a point when I got to, like, my older teenage years where I kind of had a feeling that the older I got, my relationship with him would improve, and it did.
Right.
Like, we can talk about stuff, like, all the time now.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's one of those weird things where it's, like, I think my parents think they did the best they could,
mm-hmm.
you know, given what they had. And
of course.
You know, he probably... You know, it had to have been hard, you know, raising someone who actually wasn't technically your son.
Oh, sure. I mean, everybody has their own... I mean, everybody tries to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're doing the wrong thing, they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, my father wasn't a serial killer, you know? Like, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he really did a lot of wrong things, you know?
Yeah.
But in a way, I'm almost grateful because everything that I do in my life is to be not like him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, and it's very, you know, I wish I had a father that I could relate to and, you know, like, good memories, but I don't. But it also made me, like, I'm a really nice person and I'm kind of fun to be with. And my father was none of those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, so yeah. it is what it is. But, I mean, fathers, you know, that we could do like 10 hours
of
that. But I'm trying to... Okay, so what you're saying is you have a feeling of kind of being an outsider. You don't have the greatest sense self-worth, but it's not, but you still have, you're not suicidal. I mean, you're not like depressed every second of the day.
No.
Right. No. So that's where we are. That's sort of, and then did that kind of, when you went to college and stuff, did that feeling kind of stay with you or?
So I guess that was one of those things where.
Because I think your life got better. In your early 20s, right?
My life got better. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, my life got better, I would say, for a point after high school. Because I remember, like, my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
I made a declaration that high school was not going to be the best years of my life.
Right.
And looking back, I will say, all the years since then,
mm-hmm.
collectively, for the most part, have been better than that entire experience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, oh, same here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing could be worse than my high school years.
I mean, there's some things, like, I miss. There's some things, there's, like, an innocence. It's, like, no matter, even when you're a kid, there's, like, an innocence that kind of, or if anything, the innocence of not having, like, major responsibilities
right.
yet.
Right, for
you
sure.
You kind of miss that.
Right, right. See, that's the thing. I mean, I was thinking about the perks of getting older, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I now feel more comfortable in my own skin than I... And I have more skin than I used to also. So I better be comfortable in it.
Yeah.
But it took me so long, you know, to start to... I always felt, like, in and out of my own skin. And, like... And who knows? Like, I'm still not completely where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But... that's the perk of getting older is, like, there's something happens if you're that maybe you don't care as much or about what other people think, or you start to just, maybe it's just experience, you know, you gain more experience in life, you mm-hmm. know, but let's go back to those years with your,
well, actually, you know,
why do you think those years, what's that?
I'd like to touch upon.
Oh, sure.
Well, you know, cause sure. it's
sure.
It definitely is one of those weird things because, like, the older you get,
yeah.
you know, the less time you have ahead of you. But
right.
at the same time, you're in a hopefully much better, like, headspace.
Right.
There may still be certain things about your life that you're not too, you know, that right. you're still working on, obviously.
Sure. But sure.
overall, compared to, like, where you were, like, I think about, like, now where I am now compared to even just a year ago
right.
is a stark difference.
Right.
And it's just, like, part of that is the result of external circumstances. You know, I got a new job.
Right.
And actually moved up pretty quickly in that job in a short amount of time.
Yeah, you moved up quicker than I ever have in any job.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
I'm thinking like probably like this time next month I'll be running the company.
Yeah, you'll be the president of America.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean it's socially, like I hang out with you a lot, so I notice a big change.
Yeah,
you know?
Even like we went to the comedy show last week.
Yeah,
and that was something that back in the day,
right?
I've been like, nah, yeah, I'm good, and well, for a large part, a lot of it was like not exactly having the funds to do a lot of extracurricular stuff, and now I'm starting to, so it's that definitely helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's making me look forward to doing other things as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the weird thing about being social is that, you know, I enjoy time alone. I really do. I mean, I've always been that way. But unfortunately, the moments that you remember the most in your life are the moments that you share with other people. Yeah. I don't remember being a Wednesday night alone at home watching Miami Vice episodes, you know? But I remember like going out to the comic club with you because when you share something with other people, it just takes on another meaning.
Yeah.
Or seeing Springsteen. I've seen Springsteen millions of times alone, but when I see it, you know, when I had a girlfriend, I saw it with her, you know, or like watching Rocky with your girlfriend, you know, it's different than watching it alone. You know what I mean? So it's a weird thing. Like I know you find this hard to believe. I have to push myself also to be social. I really do. I love being alone. So, but it's not, I know that at the end of the day, it's not going to be as meaningful. I guess meaningful leads to memories, right?
Yeah.
If something is meaningful, you're going to remember it more. So I have to push myself too, you know, but that's good. I mean, I also think your life has gotten a lot better because we've been hanging out more and I'm just rubbing off on you.
That's right. That's right.
But, this whole comfortable in your own skin thing is, you know, it's something that I think about a lot because I've had a huge depression a few years ago, as you know, and I didn't see anybody for 2 years. And it's like when you come out of something like that, if you come out of something like that, I mean, most people experience different depression in different ways. Most people I can't really relate to because they're like, yeah, I have good days, I have bad days. I can't relate to that because when I'm depressed, I'm just down and I can't function.
Yeah.
But when I'm feeling okay, I'm feeling okay. Like, I don't have those ups and down days, you know? I have better days and worse days, but it's not. So what I'm trying to say is the only good, you try to find the silver lining in bad experiences. So the only good thing about having like a horrible depression is that when you come out of it, everything is great. Everything is fantastic. Like, even just getting up in the morning and not feeling a sense of fear and dread. No matter, even if you're doing it to a crappy job, it's still a great day. So, and you only can experience that if you've experienced the darkness.
Yeah.
Like if our whole life was just like fun, like it wouldn't. So I'm trying to find like, but I'm also pissed off because I lost 2 years of my life. I mean, gone. Like, you know, I know you can't, you tried to contact me then and I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't. So I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to look at stuff like that. Like, okay, it was terrible, but something good came out of it. You know what I mean?
And I know like it may not help much, but at least the fact that it happened during like first 2 years of COVID when like the rest of the world shut down anyway.
That's true. It was helpful because everybody else was not leaving the house. So nobody really missed me that much when I was gone because they were also hiding.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad it's not happening now. You know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I also think that feeling good in your own skin is a very, it's hard to talk about because it's a gradual thing and it just kind of happens, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good to talk about because I think a lot of people feel the way. I mean, a lot of people had crappy childhoods, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't really, are not that happy with where they are. So I guess another perk of getting older is dealing with acceptance. Like, okay, I'm not going to be chances are I'm not going to be a famous actor. And I kind of still feel like really pissed off about that, you know? But I also have a moral. It's not bringing me down. Like I have a, like, okay, I'm gonna do community theater probably for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know. So the level of acceptance gets a little bit easier, I think. I mean, that's something I'm still working on. Yeah. You know. But I still want to be like Tom Cruise, though. And not, I want to be Don Johnson.
You want to be Don Johnson?
Not Tom Cruise. I don't want to jump out of airplanes. But actually, acting, you said something to me the other day, though, about that. I'm sorry, did you?
Well, it's interesting because I, you know, there was a spell where I wanted to be a famous actor as well. Actually, it was one of my childhood dreams, and it was something I tried to sort of do right. In my 20s, but just didn't pan out. And what's interesting is one of the things that inspired me at one point was seeing a, you know, you mentioned Tom Cruise.
Right.
Was seeing, like, I guess he won an award at the MTV Movie Awards back in the mid-2000s. And
yeah.
They did, like, a montage of all his stuff played to, like, awesome music. And I just remember watching, I'm like, I want to be a movie star.
Right.
I want to be able to, because there was something about him. When I saw the montage, I was, like, 20. There was something to his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not sure if you ever saw like The Color of Money with him and
Newman. Paul Newman, yeah.
Yeah. There's one part where he like rips a banister off on a stairwell and like drops and starts kicking it.
Yeah.
There was something about that. I was like, that's the kind of energy I have.
Right.
Like I would be the one that would do something like that. Like I would punch walls. I would do
right.
That kind of stuff. And it was like,
right.
If
right.
he could do that, I could. But
right.
One of those things where you come from a place like Ringo's without any connections or like
right.
anything, it becomes like pretty much an impossibility.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know where you live. I saw you where you live once. I didn't even go inside the house. I just picked you up and went to the airport, you know. But I didn't get the grand tour.
If anything, it would have just been a tour.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I mean, and people often say to me, oh my God, you've seen so much. I haven't really seen that much. I mean, just because I lived in Israel. But then I moved to Princeton, you know, New Jersey, you know. And then I tried to do – I don't even want to be a famous actor, though. Like, I want to be a working actor, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm a famous – like, I don't – you know, that's – nobody's – I mean, there's hardly any famous actors today anyway, you know.
That's the thing.
It's all like, you know, there's
I can see you being like John C. Reilly.
Somebody yesterday at the comedy club said I looked like Dennis Quaid, the comedian guy. I was like, Dennis Quaid, okay, sure. But I never had a Meg Ryan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they were married. I didn't have no Meg, no Ryan.
No Meg.
So, but it's interesting the role that movies have played in our... Like, so for me, movies and music, you know, I'm a huge music fan. My podcast is mostly talking with musicians, you know? I think the reason you liked movies so much is because it wasn't just entertainment. It was more like a savior.
Mm-hmm.
At least it was for me.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, a new record from like Michael McDermott is not just a fun. It's like that's a lifeline, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, and movies, I wish they had the same impact that they used to. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff in my childhood, I was like, that was my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
So, maybe that's why you didn't feel, you felt disconnected with your friends because they didn't view movies as important or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be Tom Cruise. I don't see you as Tom Cruise. I see you more like Emilio Estevez. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go back.
Charlie Sheen.
You want to be Charlie Sheen?
No, I do not.
Oh my God, that guy.
I do not.
That guy took a little nosedive there.
Yeah, he did. I like Tom Cruise. He might be a little crazy, but I think it's
I like him too.
It's one of those things where it's like he knows what he's doing. He knows what people want, and he also delivers too. He's at a point right now. He's been at a point for a long time right. where he could have just coasted, but he didn't.
Well, I mean, he would say if he was here, he would probably say that Scientology helped him feel comfortable in his own skin because he was struggling with a lot of stuff. And then he turns to Scientology, which for better or for worse, it works for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big advocate of that.
Yeah,
I read that book. I didn't understand anything. But the point is that even Tom Cruise had to find something to help him through, you know, like I think I don't know about his childhood, but I like it when I hear about other people struggling, you know, because it makes me feel like. You know, it makes me feel like like there's a purpose for the suffering. Like, you know, suffering is a big word. I have suffered, throughout my life, like here and there. But anyway, I don't want to talk about suffering. But what else should we talk about?
It's your show, bro.
No, I know. So let's continue for. So what I want to talk about, I want to continue the conversation of feeling. So when I'm not comfortable is usually with girlfriends, you know, like relationships that are supposed to be like meaningful. And, you know, that's why it would be nice to have a girlfriend now, because then I could test, like I'm doing fine. I got a job, whatever. It's not the greatest job in the world, but it's a job. I'm doing my acting. I'm seeing concerts. My life is good. My life, I'm not really having that romantic connection thing. I usually get in trouble in that romantic connection. So it would be interesting. Like, I want to date a woman now just to say, look, I know you don't want to date me, but let's just date so I can test my mental health, you know?
Right.
But she's probably not going to go for that.
Probably not.
And I think you've struggled a little bit. We talk about relationships. We joke around a lot of relationships too, right? But, I don't know. I mean, so
for me, there's always been a lot of inadequacy, feelings of inadequacy, and it's
right.
It's one of those.
Do you think it gets worse with their relationship, though? For me, it does.
So,
and we don't have to get like
in like relationship. Okay, in the few relationships I had, for the most part, a lot of them went pretty well.
Right.
They might not have lasted as much as I'd wanted them to, but. Sure. You know, you get to a point where, you know, you get comfortable around each other, and it actually can be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it even worse when it's over.
Right. Did you ever live with anybody?
A little bit. Like, my first girlfriend, when I was 20, the woman I was with, that's the whole thing. But right. You know, I was living with her and her family for a little bit, but we weren't together for too long.
Yeah. But when you're 20s, you had your own apartment for a while, right?
I had an apartment. Yeah, I had an apartment when I was like 23 and 24.
And you liked that, right?
I loved it. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, like it got to the end. Like it got to the point where my lease was up for to be re-signed.
Yeah.
Right. And
right.
I had already made plans to move out to California with this guy. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to move back home for like 2 months.
Right.
I moved out to California.
Yeah, yeah.
That 2 months became four, and then it became never. And then it just...
Why didn't it happen, you think?
The guy was kind of a flake.
Oh, okay.
He started pushing it back. Then I was just like, you know what?
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen, apparently.
Well, I did the California thing, but it was a pretty much a big failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I lived with a guy that actually I used to play tennis with here. And he had an agent. So he was like already kind of getting work. He was getting auditions at least. And I just felt like it was not. Maybe you dodged a bullet there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I did, because I feel like if I had moved out there and like failed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been terrible.
It was terrible for me. I mean, I came back. I didn't see anybody for 3 months because I told my friends I'm going to Hollywood to become a famous actor. And then I came back and I was like, I can't face anybody.
Yeah.
And I remember I told my friend, you know, I told my friend Melissa to like meet me here. And I told her, don't tell anybody, you know, that I'm here. She swore. And I was really a mess. So, you know, but California, even now, the way that I am now, it would be tough to just start from scratch. Going to another city, starting from scratch, is really, really tough, you know. But anyway, so you were... You didn't go to California.
Right.
And then why did you go back to your... So your apartment life was just a year or two?
2 years.
And did you like living alone?
I liked it for... I wound up having a friend live with me because he was going through a rough time. He was pretty much homeless at the time, so I let him live with me.
Okay. That was nice of you.
You know, I'm glad things worked out. Things worked out really well for him. And I'm really happy.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to him in a long time, partially because things became so well for him.
Yeah. Immediately. Right.
Is
he Tom Cruise?
No, it's not Tom Cruise. It was...
So you weren't really living alone. You were living with somebody. There was always somebody there.
Well, no, I lived for like out. So like I was there for like 2 years. I lived by myself for the first year and like three quarters.
Okay.
Yeah. So he only lived with me for like the last like 3 or 4 months.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But did you like the experience of coming home to an empty house and having
that was a little weird. There are a lot of times when I was lonely.
Yeah.
I feel like nowadays though, I would be able to handle that much better just because I'm better at like managing my time, like with work and extracurriculars. So I actually would go home and be like, all right, this is nice. I'm just going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
I think it's also one of those things too, where you get older, you have some experiences. I was actually thinking about this today. I'm going to get a little crude for a little bit.
Okay.
But I mean it all in seriousness. Like back in the day, I just wanted to have sex all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I did okay, relatively speaking.
Right.
The period of time in which I was successful in that arena didn't actually last long, maybe like a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, it's like I haven't had it in a long time.
Right.
But at the same time, it doesn't matter as much to me.
I'm glad you don't have sex, because otherwise our other podcasts, there would be no material.
Right.
Our other podcast is all about how we're not having sex.
That's right.
So once we start, if one of us has sex, our other podcast goes to shit.
Exactly. But we'll have to just do this.
But I mean, I do want one of us to kind of, you know, get a little lucky.
Like I would like it to be you.
Why? Don't be the sacrificial, like.
Oh, it's not sacrificial. It's like, well, one.
I don't want it to be me, because every time I have sex with a woman, I end up in a mental hospital. So
Well, like you said,
maybe
you,
now
you kind of want to go through it to sort of test your mental health.
I do, but I say that before too, and I end up in a mental hospital.
I think it'll be fine. I think if you're just like, you know what, I just want to have sex just to have it,
right?
You know, because at the end of the day, sex, like. But what could be good about sex is when there's not a lot of expectations, and
right.
What it really is, it really can be fun. It's just like two people having a good time,
right.
Naked.
Right. Usually I'm naked when I have sex.
Right, right.
We're dangerously going into the other podcast right now. But I can do the sex thing, you know, but I can only. It's so complicated for me because when I've had sex with people that I really want to have a relationship with, that's when I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
If I have sex with somebody I don't want a relationship, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not emotionally involved. I'm not going to go to a mental hospital. Everything is fine.
Right.
But I would like it to be you. Why me? Why should I be the one having
sex? Well, admittedly, because you admit yourself all the time. You have like 13 summers left.
I have. I'm a little bit older than you,
right?
So the chances of me perishing before you is probably a reality,
right?
But it doesn't mean that I want you not to have sex.
Well, I'm sure I'll have it eventually.
I
think it's going to be one of those things where the more I put myself out there, the more it's going to happen,
right?
But not the more it's going to happen. The more I'm going to possibly
Right.
The more it possibly happened.
But at this point, I'm very realistic in my head. Like I'm not going for the fairy tale romance here. Mm-hmm. Now that I have 13 summers left, I know that I need time alone. So the person I'm with is going to have to be understanding.
Yeah.
It's always dangerous. Well, you know, it's always weird to navigate that introvert extrovert part. And I married people that live together, like. You know, British Mark. I don't know how they do it. Like, I don't know how, you know, I know we've talked about this in the other podcast sometimes, like the mundane life of a relationship. But I really need my space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had a woman that I lived with for 3 months here in this,
right.
In this very, very place. And it was, I mean, there were a lot of good things about it, and I'm glad I did it, I guess. But man, was it tough.
I wonder if it'd be like one thing, like if you had like a bigger like living space.
Bigger living space, and she was from another country. She didn't have any friends. It was literally like she had no one but me. So it was so intense. But you figure out so fast the differences between you and the other person. She was someone that analyzed things a lot, and I just can't do that. And mm-hmm. it was an enormous weight.
Oh, yeah.
It became, like, and it eventually dissolved, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's interesting, because, I mean, it was an experience that I won't forget. And there was love involved. I truly loved her. She truly loved me. But I was lacking the skills to feel, I started to lose myself big time, yeah. You know? I didn't see any friends. I mean, she was my whole life, and, you know, it was too intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember coming home from work. And I knew she'd be here. Where's she gonna go? She has no car. She's literally here 24 hours a day. I was still smoking then, so smoking a cigarette. And I was like, I don't want to go back in. I'm gonna have to talk to her.
Yeah.
And I need like 2 hours at least by myself to like get my shit together. So all this to say that I do want a relationship. It's gonna have to have certain parameters.
And I think that's actually like kind of that's actually kind of healthy, because I feel like. So I feel in terms of what a healthy relationship is, it's like you have the honeymoon phase where like you want to be with each other all the time. And I think it actually becomes like a natural thing over time.
Right.
That phase
segues into a security and friendship. Yeah. And hopefully a little more sex in between.
Right.
But it turns, yeah, the intensity of the lust
mm-hmm.
goes away.
Like what I would like actually, what I see myself going for is a relationship where we have our own lives. We have our own interests. They're not necessarily like the same things. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if I would ever want to date anyone like in the community theater scene again. I don't know if I would want to do that.
Right.
But also like someone like we'll talk to each other throughout the day, like text, phone calls, whatever. Then at the end of the night, you know, if we want to sit down, watch a movie or something.
Right.
It would definitely one thing I would definitely probably require is to at least have some sort of overlap in terms of like movie interests.
Right.
That we were watching, we like certain things.
Right. Yeah.
And if she's into rock, like classic rock, even better.
Right.
And then, you know, we do that. We talk about our day for a little bit, but in a way that's interesting.
Right.
And then, you know, do that. Go in the bedroom.
Right.
Maybe try to have kids, even though we don't want kids, but like in a safe way.
Right.
And then that's it. Nothing too complicated if we go on like a vacation every once in a while.
And you don't end up in a mental hospital.
Right.
And you don't lose your sense of self, which is something that I've always struggled with.
See, I think that's something that you can
overcome. I think so too. But I'm not sure, because in the past I've always said that. I was like, I'm good. I got this. Mm-hmm. And then a big spiral down like within a month. So I don't know. Maybe it's better if I don't even engage. Mm-hmm. And then just sit there and do podcasts and like hang out with my neighbor, hang out with you, see a movie, see Bruce Springsteen, and just die. But that doesn't sound, I'm missing, I know that I'm missing a component of sharing something with someone, you know what yeah. I mean? But that remains to be seen. But it's interesting though that I mean, not to get specific about specific people, but I know that we both have struggled in different ways in relationships. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, to hear your, I think you had a 3-4 year relationship, and it had its issues. And
right.
I had a 3-year relationship that was amazing, but it was also, it eventually ended, you know. So, and there were, I don't have all the information. I feel like it's a puzzle to me that mm-hmm. and that's always missing a piece. So I just want like a beautiful girl to come here, knock on the door, introduce herself, and just live next door.
But at the same time, I think you do want more than that. Cause I remember one of the things that when you would talk to me about your past relationship,
right.
The 3-year one.
Right.
One sense I got from you was that you weren't too happy with the fact that she never really shared too much with you.
Well, but that was in terms of claiming someone, in terms of like, you know, we said,
like making it like an official like statement type.
Statement, and just in terms of it was but sharing doesn't mean you have to live together 24 hours a day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I often am in relationships where. it's hard to describe. There's certain things that feel very comfortable, and then there's certain things that feel very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. which kind of therapeutically brings me back to my childhood. Remember I said that I had good days and then terrible days? I never had the middle. Mm-hmm. I never have the middle in relationships either.
Yeah.
And then if a shrink would say, oh, there's a correlation between those two. Mm-hmm. And maybe there is. Finding the middle, finding that nice, comfortable groove that you were just talking about, coming home and watching TV, I've never really felt that middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that's what a good marriage sort of is being in that middle. There's not intense highs. There's not intense lows. It's just like a smooth, sort of smooth.
Smooth jazz.
Smooth middle. It's probably not jazz.
Not jazz.
Like a smooth, like Jackson Brown song, you know, like a nice folk song, you know. I don't know, man. It's a confusing topic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't share any great insight because I've never really had it.
I think that's the thing. It's like it's like when you haven't experienced it, it's like it's easy to kind of like not want it because like if you don't know what that's like, then you have nothing to miss.
But you know what? I do know what it's like. Within myself, I have the middle when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm very comfortable alone, just so I know what it's like, or even socially with some people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sort of in the middle when we hang out, you know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, but so I know what it's like to be in the middle, I just not with a woman that I'm sleeping with. You know, that's the only, but you know, but of course, you know, that's what I want. So, you know, that's one area of my life that needs. I need to figure out that missing puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess you do too, because here we are doing podcasts together. And
yeah.
So by the way, speaking of podcasts, you know, we do have another podcast. In case people are listening to us and don't know, we do have another podcast. It's called... and right now what we're doing is we're actually broadcasting simultaneously.
We are.
Which I don't know if it's ever been done before.
Right. I'm pretty sure, like, in terms of, like, the it's sort of like a podcast crossover, so to speak, whereas,
right,
you know, I'm recording on my phone, you're recording on your phone, right. You're going to be putting it up on your podcast page,
right?
I'm putting it up on the As Is page, the podcast we equally do,
right?
And it's going to be the same content.
It's the same content, but I mean, the massive audience that we have from the As Is podcast.
Absolutely.
Is going to be probably a little baffled that this is a bit of a different tone.
Mm-hmm.
And the other podcast, the As Is podcast, I tend to get a little looser. I tend to go off the rails a little bit, maybe complain a little bit more, maybe insert some jokes that are funny and maybe not so funny.
Right.
But what I like about the other part, the As Is, it's not the others, the As Is podcast, mm-hmm. is that it gives me a chance to vent.
Mm.
This one, you know, I've established that this is more serious conversations with, it's not serious, but, you know, more in-depth conversations.
Right.
I've tried very, very, very hard to not go crazy on this one.
We're actually able to finish sentences in this one.
I know, it's weird.
Before, you know, we start a sentence, all of a sudden we're talking about, hey, look at what's going on outside, to, oh, you have a neighbor upstairs. And
right. It's a very stream of consciousness, but that's what I like about it.
I love it.
So it's a different feel, but I'm glad. One reason also I'm doing this is because it's interesting to, everybody has different layers.
Mm.
I'm showing a bit of a different layer of myself. You're showing a little bit of a different layer. And also, you know, it's interesting. I have, you know, I don't promote mine, but I get like a certain amount of listeners from mine. So we'll see if, but I just want to say that, you know, what I get out of the As Is podcast is, I mean, it's fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's fun because it's what I actually want in a relationship with a woman. I mean, I don't want to sleep with you.
Right. I appreciate that.
Not that there's anything wrong with
it. It's likewise. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, it's just how
but
it is.
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, the ideal relationship with a woman would be to have fun and then to be able to be loose and be profound at the same time.
I agree.
And that's what we have smart thoughts on As Is once in a while.
Yeah.
But they're sort of, you know, I suggest everybody do that because it's kind of like I was looking through some of the titles of our episodes from like last year. We've done a lot.
Yeah, we have.
And it's like, man, it's like a diary of like I and you know, I don't remember half of the stuff that.
All I know, I was thinking about the other day, mm-hmm. if we had stuck to the original idea for As Is, like a music one,
right.
we probably would have stopped after like 2 weeks.
Well,
it's, if we did it in a way that was like
there was no,
researched and all that.
When we decided to do it about music, I kind of knew that we're not going to stick to music.
Yeah.
Because what is there, you know, we can analyze, analyze an album, like a song for song.
Yeah, that
song.
Was the original intent, yeah.
Yeah, or we could do that once in a while.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
but
still, even nowadays, it's like...
But you know what happened? I was going to seriously do that with you, and then you started to say that Wham was actually a good band, and then that opened up... that opened up the can of worms. Then I think I went ballistic, and
so pretty much episode one, the concept was over.
I think episode one is a great episode because it established very fast what it was going to be. Like
we changed the title within the episode of the show.
Yeah, As is a great title. I was actually with a woman last night in a bar, like talking about. I think you know she was kind of drunk, and she said, "As is, that's a great name for mm-hmm. a podcast." And she was drunk, so I don't know if her judgment was but it is. It's like it's an exercise in allowing things to be what they are. So like tonight, we're actually going to hopefully go up to my neighbor's house, and things, you know, we can sort of plan it, but it's kind of a metaphor for life. As is a metaphor for life.
It really is. It really is. Because
it's like it let things. Sometimes I wash a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, just wash the dish, okay? Don't think about, like, what you're going to do next. Just be in the moment, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And as is, it's like the moment.
It is.
So I think it's actually a profound podcast, and even though we only have, like, a very small amount of listeners.
Yes, but they are loyal.
Well, we also haven't promoted it because, I mean...
Yeah, it's tricky. If this was 2006...
No, I know, beginning, I know. I know, I know, but I mean, I'm not famous, so I'm not afraid of getting canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And I think someone with half a brain would understand that we're doing it in like whatever thing might sound a little risky. It's in comedy, you know what I mean?
See, it's the people with the brains that I'm not afraid of. Is the people without the brains?
Yeah.
Or that?
Yeah.
Even worse, the people with the brains.
Yeah.
That know how to make a big deal out of nothing.
I know. But it's like, I have friends. I have a friend that actually decided she's going to go off Facebook because she might write a book someday. And she's afraid that one of her comments will come back to haunt her. And I'm like, you know, that's really, I mean, not that Facebook is the end all or be all of anything. But like, you know, you can't live in a paranoid state of mind all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not... that worried about it, but but I agree with you that you have to. It's you know, it's I have we both have very quick minds, and you know, when we do our podcast, I know it's fun to go from topic to topic, you know, mm-hmm. like and it's amazing that we've gotten so much mileage out of nothing, although it's not really nothing, it's like Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I mean, Seinfeld, they say that it's about nothing, it's not really about it's about the relationships between the people.
Oh, yeah,
like it's not really a show about nothing,
yeah. And if the later season of the show prove it's definitely about something,
yeah,
it definitely exits realism pretty quickly.
You know what it's about? It's about looking at life, at the mundane moments in life. Well, you know, Seinfeld's humor is about the mundane moments and looking at them from a funny angle. What is wrong with this toothbrush?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like that's what life is looking at life from a certain angle.
Yeah.
And like all the Larry David moments on Curb is like, I don't know how he comes up with them, but he'll be on the line at the supermarket, and they'll be like, why is the line, why is there a separation between me and the, you know, like he'll just put that in his brain and he'll create an episode about it. It's genius, you know. But I would also say that, you know, relationships, that's why, you know, I want to be with someone that has that sense of absurdity. And looking at life from a comedic angle,
mm-hmm.
then I have a chance with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a chance with somebody who's like down to earth all the time.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah,
Imagine I come home and she's like, so how was your day? And we're going to have chicken tonight. And tomorrow we have to pick up milk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, so, you know, you might be able to do that. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know if we did we hit things that we wanted to hit here. I mean, I just wanted to hit, like, you know, not overcoming, but dealing. Like, I want to, first of all, I'm very happy that you're feeling a little bit better about things.
Thanks, man.
You know, I think it's great. When you were laughing at the comedy thing last week, I was like, yeah, that's good. That's good, you know. You might not believe me that, you know, sometimes when you look at me socially, you're like, oh my God, Danny's like so relaxed and outgoing. Maybe I am in certain situations, but I also feel like it takes work to be social. We just approach it in a different way.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm social, like, my mind just starts working very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, how can this be fun? How can this be fun? How can this be fun?
Yeah.
So we have different issues socially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a little bit more introverted and maybe self-conscious than I am, but I think you're less self-conscious than you used to be.
Yeah.
So I wish for you to continue to be more, you know, more Ryan, you know?
Thanks, man.
I know. You don't have to say
it's,
it.
It's, you know, I wish the same for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And we could do a part two if
people... If a certain someone doesn't answer you, because...
I shut my phone down, so he might be trying to text
that's
us.
That's true.
So we can end it right here. So thank you for doing this. I hope...
Thanks for having me.
How does it feel? Was it a weird...
It was weird. It actually kind of felt like work a little bit.
Yeah.
It was...
Because I kind of felt... But that's what I thought it would feel like.
Right.
Because I kind of feel like this tone should be a little bit more serious and trying to stick to a topic.
Yeah.
But it was still good.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't put that much effort into these things. It's it's as is.
That's
you know?
Right.
So, people, we do have another podcast. If you liked our little interaction here, you can always check us out on as is on Spotify and Apple. And what else can we say?
Again, just a preface that you take a step down that rabbit hole.
It's not that it's bad.
I was actually going to go in a more comedic...
Go ahead.
Once you go down that rabbit hole, you're never going to want to come back. you might not be able to. You can get lost.
I will say that we have a few fans that really, really like the show.
Yeah, they do.
We have British Mark all the way in England.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can't function. I mean, he had to quit his job. All he does is listen to our show.
Yeah.
Pretty
sure he's in the midst of a divorce at this point. And
yeah, he's homeless right now.
Yeah.
but anyway, we will probably do another episode later on that platform.
Right.
And we'll discuss this show. This is very confusing.
It's very meta at this point. It's like...
I know. Like The Matrix.
It was like the really horrible Matrix movie that came out like last year.
Yeah, I know. It's so confusing. My brain is about to explode, especially since we might have another podcast with my neighbor upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
All right, let's take a breath. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Ryan. And we're out.
See you around. Bye.